This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I remember when I was in grade school, that they let the children in our class go to the fair, the county fair. Of course, we enjoyed any time you could get out of class, and that was a treat. Well, I went with a big bankroll to the fair. I had 50 cents in my pocket. They had a giant at the fair. I was the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. And they showed how big his fingers were, and they were selling rings the size that would fit on his finger, and they showed how that you could take a half dollar, and it would go through that ring. Well, guess how I spent my 50 cents? I bought a ring that would fit a giant. I paid 50 cents for that ring, and I couldn't even wear it. Giants. Today we're going to be talking about giants in your life. Do you have any giants in your life today? We'll be talking about that. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want you to know how thrilled I am that you're watching today, especially if you may be watching for the very first time. You are an honored guest today on Getting to Know Your Bible. Thank you for tuning in. Now, if you're one of those that watches every time we come on the air, I just want to welcome you back today. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, in addition to talking about the giants in your life, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course, and we want you to have it. You can take this course either by having us mail it to you, or you can take it online. Either way, you can have it. We want you to know more about the course. We want you to know how you can receive the course, to get the telephone number, the address, and all of that. So we're going to take a little time, pause, for you to get that information.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read now from the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, and I want to start reading about verse 45, and I'm going to read down about verse 51. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off the head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. This is one of those interesting stories of the Bible. Usually we think of children when we think about David and Goliath. And we love to teach this to our children in Bible classes and vacation Bible school, Bible camps and the like. But maybe there's a little story in there, that message in there, as we think about this event in the Old Testament, for man today in the 21st century. For a little while, we want to talk about the giants that are in our lives. I read about a giant. His name was Robert Wadlow, and he was 8 feet 11 inches tall, and he weighed 491 pounds. That's some kind of a man. You know, think about the background of the text that I just read to you. The Philistines, who were the enemies of God's people, were within 16 miles of the city of Jerusalem. And Saul, who was the king of Israel, took his army out to meet the people of Philistia, because, you see, he did not want them invading the city of Jerusalem. So here were the Philistines on one side of a valley and the Israelites on the other side of the valley, and they had this standoff for 40 days. And every time the giant would come out, he would begin to taunt God's people, and he would challenge someone to come out and to fight him. Here he was, a great big old bully, Goliath the giant, and he would challenge God's people to come out and to fight. And while he was fighting, David came over to visit his brothers who were in Saul's army. And David observed what was going on, and he saw that no one was going to meet the challenge of Goliath. So David said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out, I'll fight Goliath." And Saul said, "Well, if you're going to do that, you better put on my armor." Why didn't Saul put on that armor? Why didn't he go out to meet him instead? Maybe Saul didn't have the backbone that David had. But nonetheless, David tried it on, but he said, "I can't wear that." He said, I'll take my own arm. I'll take my own weapons with me. I'll have my own protection." And he did. He had the presence of God with him, did he not? So David went down to the little brook that was flowing down the midst of the valley between the two hillsides, one army on one, another army on the other. And he picked up 5 little stones and put them in his bag. And he went out to meet Goliath. And here's old Goliath roaring. I can just hear him roaring. "Who's going to come out and fight me today?" And here goes David. And no doubt, as he looks down at David, who was a shepherd boy, compared to the soldiers that were out there in Saul's army. Incidentally, where was Saul while David was out there meeting the giant? Well, maybe Saul was over there in his tent planning a strategy of what they were going to do when the giant killed David. I don't know what he was doing. But then David goes out with his sling and with 5 little stones. And he says, "I come to you, and in the name of the Lord, and the battle today is the Lord. I'm not coming to you with a sword. I'm not coming to you with a shield." And he came out to meet him with his little slingshot and 5 little stones in his bag. I remember years ago singing that little song to children in vacation Bible school about David and Goliath, and David putting a stone in his sling. And so here's Goliath, and he goes out and he's roaring around trying to challenge some of the Israelites to come. And David says, "I'm here in the name of the Lord. The battle is going to be the Lord's." And David puts a little stone in his sling, and he slings it, and it hits Goliath in the forehead, and he fell down. And then David took the Goliath's sword, and he stood on Goliath, and he cut off his head. And when he did that, the Philistines fled, and the battle indeed was the Lord's. Oh, Goliath, he was a big man. But he was no match for David because God was on David's side. But let me ask you a question. What giant are you facing today? What are the giants that are in your life? Well, someone says, well, you know, Brother Lambert, I just don't think people like me. I just don't think that anybody cares anything about me. Do you know that that's one of the big giants in the lives of young people? We'll call it the giant of acceptance. They like to be accepted. Don't we all like to be accepted? No one likes to feel that they're shut out of the crowd. You know, in school there's always the in crowd and there's the out crowd. Do you know that same thing happens in society? That same thing even happens in churches? There are those that are on the inside. There are those that feel like they're on the outside. They're not accepted. But let me tell you, all people want to be accepted. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they are. I don't care where they live. All people want to be accepted. We struggle with that. And I think there's a reason for the behavior of some people. The reason that they don't, the way they act sometimes is because deep down inside they don't feel like anybody cares about them or that they are accepted. I was reading about a 16-year-old boy that was on his motorcycle and was riding it rather fast around some teenage girls. You know why he was doing that? Well, number one, he wanted them to notice him. They wanted him to see him, think he was a tough guy. But deep down in his heart, he didn't feel accepted by the girls, and he didn't feel accepted by his male counterparts. You see, acceptance is a big thing. And that's the reason some people act the way they do. So, there has been a lot of talk about and study about gangs in some of our larger cities in America. Well, they're not just in larger cities anymore. They're in a lot of cities across America. Do you know why they're in gangs? And a gang of people are people who bond together. And they have a purpose for bonding together. And one of the reasons some of them bond together is because they are looking for some place to belong. They are looking for some place where they are accepted. And I am told by reading, at least, that in order to be in some of those gangs, they have initiations, and sometimes those initiations are illegal acts that they must perform, even to the point of maybe causing someone to die. So gangs have been formed because people are looking for acceptance. In lots of cases, they have no home. In lots of cases, they have no father to guide and to teach them and to train them. And maybe in some cases, the mother's not even at home. And maybe what rearing they've had, maybe their grandmother reared them, or maybe they reared themselves. And then they have people out here who accept them in these gangs that get into all kinds of illegal activities, and they do it to be accepted. If you're looking for acceptance, let me tell you, you've come at the end of your search. And let me tell you who will accept you just as you are. I like the song by Fanny Crosby, "Just As I Am," without one plea. God will accept you just like you are. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God accepts you. You say, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were sinners. Christ died for us when we were not very likable people. Jesus died for us when we were not very lovable people. Jesus died for us when we were rebellious people. Jesus died for us when we were sinful people. Why? Because He accepts. He wants to accept us just like we are. And if you will allow Him, He can make a new person out of you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He can do that if you'll believe on Him with all your heart. You'll repent of all your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized into Christ, and you'll be, your sins will be washed away. All of your sins, you say, you mean all of them? All of your sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, who had been persecuting Christians, was told by Ananias the preacher, arise. In other words, get up, Paul. Get up, Saul of Tarsus. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. At that point in his life, Saul of Tarsus had become a believer in Jesus, a penitent believer in Jesus. And now he was told to arise and to be baptized. If you don't feel like you're accepted, I want to encourage you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ on His terms. They're not your terms to make. His terms. And if you'll do that, He'll make a new creature out of you. Give you purpose for living. Another giant that people face in life is temptation. Now, is there anyone watching or listening that's never faced that giant? There's only one person that never yielded to that giant called temptation, was Jesus. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet it was without sin, Hebrews 4:15. But we are tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. Someone says, well, that just sounds good, Brother Lambert, but I didn't quite get what you were saying in that passage. All people are tempted. God will help us with our temptation, and He will give us a way to escape that temptation. But that's a giant in the life of some people. Some people are tempted. I don't think all of us have the same temptation. I know that. All of us are tempted in different ways. Some might be tempted with the tongue. Some might be tempted with the temper. Some might be tempted with their appetite. That is, they may overindulge themselves even in food. Some might be tempted in what they drink. Some might be tempted with sexual activity, illegal sexual activity for unscriptural and sinful sexual activity. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. There's a God who can help you overcome that temptation. But I'm telling you, that's a giant in the life of some people. Joseph faced that giant. In Genesis 39, we read about Joseph being in Pharaoh's household. And he had been made the second in command in all the land of Egypt. And one day Pharaoh's wife came knocking on the door with temptation. And she said, Joseph, I want you to come and lie with me. And she meant to have sexual activity with me. But Joseph refused. Day after day, like a dripping faucet, she came after Joseph. But Joseph did not yield to the temptation. He said, I can't do that. This is in Genesis 39, verse 9, incidentally. He said, I can't do that and sin. He didn't stop there, because if he had stopped there, he'd still been right. He said, I can't do that in sin, because had he yielded, it would have been a sin. He would have been committing sin by having sex with another man's wife. But he didn't stop there. He said, I can't sin and sin against God. He didn't say, I can't do this and sin against myself or my family or Pharaoh. He said, I can't do, or the woman, he said, I can't do this and sin against God. Every sin is against God. And David knew the secret to overcoming temptation. It's a small word spelled with two letters, and it's the word no. He slammed the door on temptation, and he said no. He fled. A little girl said that every time the devil came knocking on her door, tempting her, she just sent Jesus to the door. Isn't that a pretty good way to do it? But that's a giant in your life, some people's life. Some of you watching right now may be tempted. You may be tempted to have an affair with someone outside of your marriage. And that happens so often in our society today. Well, God can help you with that temptation. You can overcome that temptation. But here's another of the giants that we face in life, and that is sexual activity with a physical body. God made us with a wonderful physical body. As a matter of fact, in the 139th Psalm, verse 14, the psalmist said that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And God made us with certain appetites and desires within the body. For example, there's an appetite called thirst. And if you get out in the yard, especially on a very hot day, and you maybe you're working your flower beds, or you're mowing your grass, or maybe you're out pitching a ball with your son, or you might be doing something with your daughter, you might go somewhere that's rather extremely hot, you may have a very strong thirst for water or something to quench your thirst. Now, even though God gave that desire within the body, there's still some things you don't use to quench your thirst. I would suggest that you not use ethyl alcohol to do that, because that can have a disastrous effect upon you eventually in the long run, but it can have an effect upon you in the short run as well. You know, Solomon said, give strong drink to him who's ready to perish. Give strong drink to those that are ready to perish mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, and even eternally. It's like getting on a runaway train that has no brakes when you begin to live a lifestyle like that. But that's a giant in some people's lives, and that's one of the biggest giants faced today, is what do I drink? Some think nothing about it today. Think nothing about it. We become so accustomed to it, so hardened to it, that we do it without thinking anymore. Things that we ought not to do. But another appetite in this physical body is an appetite called hunger. And it is perfectly normal to get hungry. But folks, there are just some things that you ought not to eat. And not only that, you don't eat everything within your reach. You know, Solomon in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs said, if you're a man given appetite, put a knife to your throat. Well, he's not suggesting a literal knife, but he's suggesting some self-control. You don't eat everything that you see in front of you. So there are just some things you don't eat. But there's another appetite, and it's a physical appetite called sex, or sexual appetite, or sexual urges. And there's nothing sinful or ugly about it. People have made it ugly and sinful by perverting that which God made as sacred. God said in the Hebrew letter that the bed is undefiled. That is, a sexual part of marriage is a beautiful thing. It's not ugly. It's not sinful. But when you go and try to satisfy that urge and that desire for sex outside the marital relationship, the Bible calls it sin. It doesn't matter what some psychiatrist may call it, some doctor may call it, some politician may call it, some preacher may call it. The Bible just calls it sin. And we sin when we satisfy that outside the marital relationship. That's the reason God created the home, so that we can satisfy those appetites and desires within the framework of the marital relationship. But that's a giant in some people's lives. And then there's the giant I call decision. Some of you got some decisions to make today. Some life-changing decisions. And you don't really know what to do. I want to just tell you that one decision can change the course of a lifetime. One decision that you make can change what happens in your family. If you make a good decision, it can do something wonderful for your family. But God will be with us in making those decisions. But that's a giant. It's hard to make decisions. And then another giant is a giant that I call fear. Solomon said, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. How are we going to deal with all these giants in our life? Well, just as David took five stones and put in his little bag, I want to give you five stones for daily living that will help you to deal with the giants in your life. First of all, there's Jesus' blood. Jesus said, "My blood is shed for the remission of sins," Matthew 26:28. And you've got to come to the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His divine will to deal with a sin problem in your life. Another stone that you take with you is the Word of God. The Bible helps us to deal with these giants. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee," Psalms 119. But let me give you a third stone to take with you, and that's the stone of prayer. There are more things wrought by prayer than the world dreams of. And Paul put it like this: pray without ceasing. Your lifestyle ought to be one of prayer. Pray without ceasing. But here's a fourth stone to take, and that's the stone of worship. And you're never closer to God in heaven than when you're worshiping Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is so important to me that I worship Him. And then the fifth stone, I call the stone of dedication to Christ. If there's ever a man that was dedicated to Jesus, it was Paul, a man who had fought Jesus, and now he is loving Jesus, and he's dedicated to Jesus. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove that acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Do you love Him enough to give your life to Jesus? I'd urge you to do that today. Believe on Him with all of your heart. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible Today. And let me give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ nearest to you. If you're not certain where it is located, if you'll get in contact with us, we will give you that address. And also, please, right now, pick up the phone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Do that without hesitation. Now, you say, "Well, I don't want you sending it to me. Can I take it with my computer?" Absolutely. You can take it with your computer, your telephone, your iPad, whatever. You can take it online. We have the information available to you as well. I just want you to know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate you watching Getting to Know Your Bible Today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.